Jacked up pretty good here, Brother James. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me. Hey, are you glad you're saved? Say amen. Yeah. Last thing church ought to be is dull. Somebody left here one day, stopped at the door, shook my hand and said, are y'all charismatic? I said, no ma'am, we saved and happy about it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The average Baptist, by the look on their face, would nobody in their right mind want none of what they got. Amen. I don't know about you. Oh, I got troubles and I got trials. But on top of all the trouble and on top of all the trial, I got Jesus. Amen. So I have reason to put a smile on my face and a song in my heart. Hey, it's a whole much more fun to rejoice than it is to complain. Amen? Amen. Complain and worry won't do nothing but give you ulcers, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, and a migraine, and gray hairs or a bald head. Amen. Good to be saved. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Nehemiah. If you go to the book of Psalms, which is right in the middle of your Bible, and back up toward the front, you're going to pass Job. And then I believe Esther, and then Nehemiah. Did I get that right? It's hard to go backwards. Psalms, Job, then Esther, and then you'll find the little book of Nehemiah. And we're going to read some scripture this morning. Before I do, I want to give you a little background. Generally, when we preach from the book of Nehemiah, or just every time I have, we've looked at it from the viewpoint of working for God, getting busy in the work that God's given us to do. Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter number 1, he is a cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes, and he gets word that in his homeland that the walls of Jerusalem are lying in waste. In other words, they've been torn down. Let me just throw in as a side note, there's some walls of old time religion that are crumbling around us. Old time worship is on its way out if somebody don't do something about it. Amen. They are attacking our Bible. If for no other reason in the world, you ought to come in here with a King James Bible so we on the same page. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That would be confusing if I sat down and listened to a man of God supposedly giving me truth from the Word of God and his Word of God didn't say what my Word of God said. Yeah. Yeah. Some of y'all looking a little squeamish this morning. I'm telling you, it's under attack. These old songs that cause us to bow on our knees and tears to run down our face, they're under attack. We could have a praise and worship team or a praise and worship band that would cause us to sway back and forth and feel good in our flesh. But I'd much rather feel good in my spirit. I'd rather have something that I can feed on tomorrow than something that'll pump me up for an hour. Amen. Some of that stuff is, am I ringing? Some of that stuff is like those energy drinks. It'll pump you up for a little while, then it'll leave you to crash. Amen. Nehemiah hears that the walls of his city have been torn down by the enemy. They're lying in shambles. Those walls for Nehemiah and those Hebrew children, they represented some very important things in their life. That wall around the city represented power, strength, and might. They represented protection. As long as we have those walls, kind of like the hedge that Job, the devil said God had built around Job. As long as that wall is around him, I can't get in to attack him. Protection. Thank God for his protecting hand. Those walls stood for peace. Those walls stood for the presence of God in their lives. He hears how the walls are laying in waste and he gets a burden. And he makes up his mind he's going to do something about it. He's going to gather a remnant of people and he's going to go and rebuild the walls. But what he finds when he gets there is a mess. 9 times out of 10, when people come to see the preacher, it ain't when there's a crack in the mortar. It ain't when they first notice that the foundation that their life is built on has begun to settle. They wait till it is an utter mess. Some of you are there this morning, you're in the biggest mess of your life. There's hope. Some of you, you're just beginning to see the signs. That's the time to do something about it. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 17. Nehemiah said, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." I like that little statement right there, Brother Jay. "Then I told them of the hand of God, which was good upon me." I don't say this in a braggadocious manner, but might I tell you of the hand of my God that I feel is good upon me this morning. Amen. What are you saying? Ain't nothing we can't do with the hand of God on our lives. Amen. He said it was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." You know what they said? "That's a good idea. Let's do it." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. Mark her down, children. There's always going to be an enemy. They didn't just laugh at him and scorn him, but he said they despised us and said, "What is this thing you do? Will you rebel against the king?" Then answered I them and said unto them, "The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." I'll preach to you on this thought this morning. If it ain't broke, he can't fix it. If it ain't broke, he can't fix it. Jesus said in Matthew, "I came to the sick and not the healthy. I came to those who are in need of a physician. If you have no ailment, I have nothing for you." Amen. I'm glad one day when I realized I needed a doctor. And Jesus was there. Because the children of Israel were disobedient. Somehow we think as we reach adulthood that we rise above that terminology, disobedient. Or rebellious. Let me just put it to you like this. I know more rebellious grown-ups than I do rebellious teenagers. Some of your lives, just like the walls of Jerusalem, are crumbling down, falling down around you while you sit and watch. And it's happening simply because of disobedience in your life. Why is God allowing this to come in my life? Do you really have to ask? Do you really have to seek such an answer? When you plant tomatoes in a garden, you pick tomatoes. When you plant corn, you pick corn. Are you with me? When we sow to the flesh, we will reap destruction. And let me just throw this in. The Bible does say in Galatians, I believe it's chapter 5, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The harvest is always more than the planting. What are you saying? Preacher, it was just a little indiscretion. One little grain of corn when placed into the ground and then nurtured. That's what we do with our sin. We don't sow it and forget it. We sow it and feed it and feed it and feed it and feed it from that little grain of corn. If cared for properly, it will produce a stalk sometimes 8-10 feet high. And produce ears of corn that big around. With silk on the end that long. And on that one ear of corn will be literally hundreds of those little grains of corn. It's no surprise that some of us who are no longer newlyweds, no longer teenagers, we're nearing the middle ages of our life and our crops are coming in. And we don't understand why we're getting what we're getting. And it's simply because of what we planted back yonder. Are y'all with me this morning? You said, preacher, we was having a good time till you got on this. Well, if you and I can find a place in our lives to deal with this, yes, the time we have at the end of our service this morning will be far greater, yes, than the time we had in the beginning, yes, of the service this morning. Because they were disobedient, God sent Babylon to overtake Israel. Jerusalem was sieged, overpowered and defeated. Are you there this morning? Do you feel sieged? Do you feel overpowered? Do you feel defeated? I've been there. Nehemiah's heart was broken as he thought of Jerusalem's destruction. God gave him a dream in his heart to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. A couple of statements this morning, and we'll get right into the message. Nehemiah was a rebuilder of walls. Nehemiah was a rebuilder of walls. He saw the problem. He had some vision. He had some get up and go, and he went to Jerusalem and did exactly what God had put in his heart to do, and he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem that the enemy laughed and scorned and said, you're wasting your time. There's no hope for this. It can't be done. And in record time, what would have took us, even in modern society with modern equipment, years to do, he did in days. Yeah. Why? Because he was a rebuilder of walls. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19, I love my favorite chapter, I think, in the New Testament is Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 19, the Bible said, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's after we're saved. and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I said this morning, number one, Nehemiah was a rebuilder of walls. But thank God I serve a God this morning who is not only a rebuilder of walls, but we serve one this morning who is a rebuilder of lives. Hey, listen, man, when the devil comes into our life, he comes with destruction on his mind. He is a one-man wrecking crew. He is a demolition derby all by himself. And when he gets in the door, he leaves nothing behind but wreckage and carnage and death. And brother, he knows how to bring destruction. Amen. Give credit where credit's due. He is a destroyer. He is a powerful foe. But I'm glad I know one who can rebuild a life. Wrecks. Wrecks. Some of you are a wreck at best. Several years ago, I thought about this last night or yesterday afternoon. I was in my study, and out in my yard is an 87 Chevrolet Silverado four-wheel drive, short bed, set up 4 inches with 35s on it. Somebody say amen right there. I'm talking about 350 with Flowmaster exhaust. Wombow. I mean, that thing sounds good. Everywhere I go, people ask me the same question. You want to sell that truck? Stopped at the store to get some gas the other day. One of my neighbors stopped over there by my truck and said, you want to sell that truck? I said, no, I kind of like this Toyota. He said, no, I wouldn't have that. I'm talking about the one in your yard. I said, well, yeah. I sell it in a heartbeat. He said, what do you want for it? I said, well, it ain't mine. I said, but the one who owns it says, not for sale. Woo! Anybody getting on the same page where I am? Amen. We sell ourselves down the river time and time again. Brother Freddie, we sell ourselves into sin. We sell ourselves into temptation. But those of us who are saved by His mercy and saved by His grace, we no longer have ownership. And while we're saying, yeah, I'll sell it for this and I'll sell it for that, there's a God in heaven who says, no, it's not for sale. Amen. But you see, Brother Jay, I remember a time when nobody wanted that truck. I remember a time when nobody rode down the road, saw that truck and went, whoo, boy, I wonder if that's for sale. I remember the day I first saw it. I don't know what it is. I have a passion for trash. Always have had. I'd rather have an old one than a new one. I was driving down Marshall Fuller Road, and I passed the place where I grew up, my grandmother and grandfather's farm. And I always look when I go by just to reminisce and think about the apple trees that I climbed and the horses that I rode and all the whoopings that I got, and just enjoy. But as I drove by this day, I looked out toward the barn where my horse used to stay. And I got by the barn, and just to the left of the barn, I saw something in the weeds. All growed up. Briars wrapped around the side mirrors. And I hit my brakes just a little bit, Brother William, and I said, whoa, that's an 87 Chevrolet Silverado four-wheel drive. Short bed, air conditioned. Woo! said, I wonder if they'd get rid of that thing. You see, it had been discarded. You could stick a key in the switch, but it didn't do you no good. Why? Wouldn't run. They was dents on every part of its body. It had been beat up. It had been collided with. It had been crashed into. And somebody said, it's beyond hope. I'm going to put it out for the weeds to grow around. I'm going to put it out to rot in this world. But thanks be unto God, somebody came by. Somebody came by where it was. Somebody help me this morning. Somebody seen that thing. Somebody said, I can get that den out. I can put a coat or two of paint on that bad boy. I begin to bargain. I begin to bargain with the man. He said, you have to tow it out of here. I thought about David when he said he heard my cry. Lifted me up out of the horrible pit. Set my feet on a rock and established my God. I'm glad God has a record service, ain't you? And he's open 24 hours a day. And I don't care how deep you got in. I don't care how bad it's tore up. He can. I said he can. Good God Almighty, I said he can. Pull you out. I put a hot battery in that truck. Stuck the key in the switch. Blowed my mind. It started turning over. Finally it said, I get I pulled her down in drive. That's go. Amen. I pulled her down in go, and it said, he said, I told you, motor shot. I said, how long it been sitting out there in them weeds? He said, oh, it's been several years now, since not long after I bought this place. Yeah, bro. Did it run when you put it there? He said, oh, yeah. I believe Mama stopped by there and looked at that thing with me. Is that right? I got me an idea. I said, I'll be back. But before I leave, we gonna reach us an agreement. He said, make me an offer. I made him an offer, and he accepted. And looked like he was shocked that I would give what I offered for something that won't even go. I went down to the gas station, had my 5-gallon red gas can, and I filled it up with 5 gallons of high test at 98% octane. Filled that bad boy up, carried it back over there, paid the man. Always pay the man. Got a bill of sale in my hand. Poured that fresh gas in that beat up truck. Somebody get where I am this morning. Poured that fresh gas in that beat up truck. Got in there, patted her a few times, fired her up, and she said, "Wum blah, blah, blah." I watch old coal black smoke boil out of the tailpipe. The old valves are clack, 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 clack. And that guy said, I told you she's going to blow. Move on, move on. That fresh gas got in there and she quieting right down. And I drove it home. And that old boy standing in the yard, with a very small check in his hand. Jaw on the ground. What are you saying, preacher? I may never get to the message this morning, but there ain't nothing wrong with you that a fresh tank of gas wouldn't take care of this morning. Hey, man, you done grown stale. You done grown stagnant on God. You've let the cares of this world tear your life out of frame. All you need is a Holy Ghost to fill you up this morning. It didn't stop there. We got it running. But then the work began.
Yeah, come on now. Praise God.
Levi enjoyed looking at the old truck parts catalogs. We had a stack of them that high. And he would make lists over here of everything he wanted to buy to fix that truck. But when it come time to get out the sandpaper, did you know that'll make your arm fall off? Man, I'm talking about wax on, wax off. It'll wear you out, brother. And when you think you've rubbed enough, you just got started. We begin to beat dents. We begin to replace old body parts with new body parts. I'm talking about new fenders. I'm talking about new doors. I'm talking about new tailgates. I'm talking about every piece on that thing. We begin to replace piece by piece. And we begin to rub and we begin to sand. And even in the process, it didn't start looking better. It got uglier. Not one part matched another. You know the best way to buy a hot rod? One somebody started on and quit. Very seldom do you see them go through with the process. They'll get it in some stage of restoration and find out how much work it is, find out how much it's cheaper to buy one than to build one. I'd rather buy one somebody else builds. Amen? But boy, when we roll that thing in the paint booth, Brother Charles, and Brother Mike Powell begin to lay down that base coat, that dark Chevrolet blue, he got all them layers of that base coat, I thought, this thing might be all right.
Amen.
I poked Levi and we had on the breathing apparatus and the paint suit where all that stuff wouldn't get in our pores, you know. I looked at Levi and said,
Amen.
Keep spraying, brother, keep spraying. Then he two-toned it and put silver down on the bottom. Woo! That thing began to dry. But Brother Jason was still kind of dull looking. I mean, just didn't have much. I thought, man, that's some ugly paint. PPG has ripped us off. That ain't looking good. And he said, I got to put the clear coat on. Yeah. He said, and what that'll do, that'll seal. Well, good Lord. That'll seal everything in. He began to lay that clear coat. And man, it popped like new diamonds. I said, woo, we got us something right here. Now what was worthless, weeds growed up around and nobody desired. Now everybody wants to know what you take for that truck. I'm glad I serve a God who is a rebuilder of lives. I'm glad, yeah, tell about it, BJ. I'm glad God can take a life that has been torn all to pieces, wrecked by sin, drugs, sex, alcohol, no matter what the problem, and God can pull it out of the muck and the mire and begin the process
and restore it and restore it and restore it better than it ever was. Somebody shout with me right there. Hallelujah.
Mm.
There's some men in this building this morning. Your life's a wreck. There's some women in here. It's falling apart down around your feet. Down there at the mall, there's some teenagers. Look like there ain't no hope for. I'm glad he don't see them like we do. We look and we see the wrecks and the junks of society. God looks and He sees potential for a showpiece, for a trophy of grace. God wants to take the worst of the worst, the rusty of the rustiest. He wants to take the wreck of the most wrecked. He wants to take the teetotal life and say, look at here what I can do. You ain't got nothing broke this morning. He can't handle. Are you listening? You ain't got a marriage. He can't fix. Are you listening? You ain't got a teenager. He can't pull out of the mess. See, you don't understand. It's too late. Who you talking to? It might be too late with the principal down at the schoolhouse. It may be too late with the sheriff down at the sheriff's office. It may be too late with the judge down at the courthouse. But it ain't never too late with the God of heaven this morning. He said, man, I can fix it. I can fix it. I can fix it. Are you glad about it this morning? I lost my watch. I'm having a good time this morning. He said, why are you so tore up? I remember when I was in the weeds. I remember when the briars was growing up, Brother Freddie, and choking me out. I remember when my heart beat and breath went in and out of my body. But Brother Charles, they wasn't no life. They wasn't no joy. They wasn't no happy. They wasn't nothing to shout about. Everything was shallow and superficial. And I'm glad one day God found me where I was. Pulled me out of what I was in. Started to knock my dents out. Put some fresh gas in. Somebody. God is a rebuilder of lives. Say, so you don't understand. Our situation is hopeless. Your God ain't no more than that. Maybe it is hopeless. But I serve a God who can take a murderer, a persecutor of Christians, by the name of Saul of Tarsus, knock him down in the middle of the road, change his name to Paul, use him to take the gospel to the Gentile, use him to write 13 books of the Bible. I'm telling you, I serve a God that if He can do that for Paul, He can do that for me. These people in here this morning serving God used to be in jail. I told the preacher the other day, I said, man, we ought to just go out and do something. Steve Swofford, right down here in Fullerville. I said, we ought to just go out and do something, get locked up, let them come visit us for a change. He said, you go ahead. Let me give you some guidance. How many of you got something needs rebuilding? Come on. Got something needs some work. Hey, did it used to be desirable? Watch this. Watch this. If it was pretty one time, it can be pretty again. Now hang on with me. Hang on. You got to get this.
If you don't give nothing else, I'm going to give you four little thoughts real fast, and we're going to go to the house. When somebody restores something, normally, Brother Rusty, they don't stop with like it was.
Right.
They carry it a little farther.
Hey. Yes.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
They personalize it.
Yeah.
A little more chrome. That's right, my brother.
Amen.
Old Levi stood back and looked at that truck. All the chrome replaced. All the fresh paint. And he said, Dad, you know what? That thing sure would look good if it's set up a little bit. I said, I hear you, boy. I hear you loud. I'm listening. I'm listening, son. What are you thinking? He said, I'm thinking at least 4 inches. I said, uh-huh. He said, I'm thinking 35s. I said, yeah. And that's redneck talk, I know. When God gets a hold of a life, He normally don't bring it back to where it was. He elevates it a little bit. He starts adding things that did not come from the factory. Amen. And He personalizes it so when everybody sees it, everyone driving down the road don't look just like it. And they say, I know that one. That's God's right there. Why? It's got His touch on it, amen. You got something that needs rebuilding. You're going to need something that Nehemiah had. We read in our scripture this morning that he had a dream. You know the problem? And I hit this quite often, especially here lately for some reason. We've lost our dreams. All you can see is the job you ain't got. All you can see is the bills you can't pay. I may have to just cut this off this morning. My wife, I've always been a man of vision and a man of dreams. I can see something in nothing. Years ago, I was driving by Brother Boyd Cole's house on Mulberry Rock Road. Y'all know you, preacher. I love a bass boat. I mean, it's Sister Angie, my kids, bass boat. God on top of all that. I love the fish. I love it. I love it. Y'all mess with me, I'll go today. I love it. Amen. Caught one Friday, weighed over 6 pounds. Poaching. Amen. I drove by Boyd Cole, poor as a snake, didn't have two nickels to rub together, and I seen a little old 15-foot bass boat laying. No trailer, no motor, no nothing, just a boat laying in Boyd Cole's yard in 2 pieces. I wheeled in there and I said, Boyd, what do you want for that boat? He said, get it out of my yard. I went home, told my wife, I got a boat. I got a bass boat. She said, all right, how much it going to cost? I said, nothing. I got it. It's on its way. Jerry Seals put it on a slide bed wrecker right now. It'll be here in just a little while. She stood on our back porch, wicked as the devil, and laughed me to scorn. When they haul that piece of junk in our yard, she know what she said? That ain't never gonna float. All she could see was what was there. No vision. No dream. She saw an old, dull, beat up boat in 2 pieces. I saw a bass boat shining like a diamond with a mercury hanging off the back, getting it across Lake Altoona. Don't you let her lie to you. Less than a year later, shining like a diamond, sitting on a brand new trailer with a mercury outboard on the back, getting it across Lake Altoona. Why? Vision. If all you can see is all you've got, you ain't got no hope.
That's good.
Drove her down Sweetwater Bend one day. Brother Jay called me, said, I found you some land right at 10 acres, and they about want to give it away. I knew that's a lie because he'd have done bought it. Sure enough, we got a deal. Swamp. Skeeters that big. Y'all come to our house, we ride them for fun. Drove my wife down through there. I said, you see that swamp? Yeah. We just bought it. I'm going to build you a house, right? Let me walk you through the woods. Walk through the woods. Briar patch. Wasn't nothing but a briar patch, was it, Brother Jay? You couldn't walk 10 foot. For every 10 feet you walked, you had 20 chigger bites. In places I can't even tell you about. I walked right out there and I had some little old stobs. I can take you right to where they were. You say, how can you do that? Because there's a house sitting on them. I said, you see that stob? She said, I said, that's one corner of our house. She said, yeah. I said, see that stob? Mm-hmm. That's the other corner. I said, come on out back. 20 more chigger bites later. I said, just lay back and do this right here. She said, what are we doing? I said, the backstroke. I said, you in the pool. What are you talking about? I looked beyond the chiggers. I had to have the ability to look beyond the briar patch and the pine thicket and the wet, swampy ground and see what can be. Sis, why don't you look past the fight you had with your husband last night?
Amen.
Sir, why don't you look past the hopelessness of your situation and see what you got and what it can be? We better be people of vision. We'll never become what God can do with our lives. We better have a dream. We get to the point, and this brings me to my next one, I'm almost done. We get to the point where we understand what it could be. We just don't have it in us to get it there. It's too far gone. Too much has happened. Don't lay that on God. Maybe it's been too much for you.
Amen.
With God, all things are possible. Where there's been adultery, He can bring forgiveness. Where there's been abuse, whether verbal or physical, He can bring peace. Well, y'all got quiet on me. How you know? I'm walking it. I'm living it. I'm breathing it. If any man on face this planet ought to be divorced, you look at me. Say, oh, preacher, you shouldn't take. What's the difference between me and you? She's mean as the devil, but you don't deserve her. Say amen right there, Carlos Baker. It's exactly right. You ever think about what you got? Running around in them funky looking clothes? And she stays? Oh, yeah. Ain't none of us deserving what we got. That teenager you done give up on, you ought to go home, throw your arms around them where they like it or not, and kiss them right in the face. And say, I prayed for you this morning. I thank God for you.
Yes, sir.
Your life may be messed up right now, but God done gave me a vision, and I've done seen beyond what you are, and I see, baby, what you can be.
Amen. Amen.
He is a rebuilder of life. He rebuilt mine.
Yes, sir.
He rebuilt yours and yours and yours and yours. Oh, man, can I get a witness this morning? People spend fortunes going to car shows. You come in here on Sunday morning, we got a weekly God show around here. We better have a dream, and then we better have some desire. The problem, some of you still in the mess you're in, you don't want it. You got used to the junk. You got used to the sin. You got used to the lifestyle. It'd be easier just to stay where you are. Are you listening? You need to get on this altar this morning and get you a good old-fashioned dose of want to. How many of you want to be like you are? Not me. I want to be better. I want to be better. There's a man in our parade that starts in our parking lot every year. Some of y'all gonna know exactly who I'm talking about. Got a yeller, not yellow, yeller. Hey, Ohio boys, yeller. Not yellow, yeller Dodge truck. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That thing's got, I don't know what you call them, pop them Ferrari doors on it. They're open like that. It's got a Hemi. Nitrous oxide. Every year he comes and finds me. Come here, preacher. Let me show you what I've done this year. He'll show me what he done this year, and then he'll tell me what his plans are for next year. I said, man, when you gonna be done? He said, I ain't never gonna be done. He said, every time I fix something, every time I add something, I find something else I want to do. Woo! That's what I want. I want to crawl up in the altar and say, God, throw in a bigger cam. Lord God, give me a bigger carburetor so I can suck up more gas. God, give me wider tires where I can scratch off a little louder. God, keep adding, keep adding, keep adding. I ain't never going to get satisfied with my Christian life till I got a body just like his. I know I got the next best thing, but one of these days, we need to have some desire. Do you want it? Do you want it? My wife said, she said this about me and my daughter who's in home on bed rest. She said, y'all have a way of making up your mind of what you want and never letting up until you get it. Is she that way, Brother Todd? You say, why that is? Because we want what we want. What drives us? Desire. I want the perfect marriage. I want it. We halfway there got the perfect husband. Halfway. Maybe three quarters. She's coming along pretty good. Amen. Y'all know I'm lying and that's the other way around. Is that right? Desire. Desire. But vision and desire ain't enough. There's going to have to be a decision. And it goes in that order. It's first, there's a vision. Most of y'all know what you could be. And you certainly know what you should be. And deep down in your heart, you know what you ain't. You truly, I don't believe there's a soul in here has a desire to be wicked and wrong. Total a wreck in your life. Nobody has that. You've got a desire. It's time to make a decision.
Yes, sir.
I stood in that man's yard, Brother Todd. I walked around the truck. That's what Nehemiah did. He walked around the city and saw the shambles, saw the ruins. I walked around the truck and I had to make a decision. I knew by agreeing to pay the price, that was the easy part. Was I willing to do the work? Poor, couldn't afford to hire it done. I'm gonna have to do it myself. I put my arm around my boy, and like any decent daddy, I said, "Son, is that the one you want?" His little eyes just gleamed. He said, "Yeah, Dad. More than anything." Right then, I made a decision. I'll do whatever it takes to give him the desire of his heart. I'll give the time. I'll give the money. I'll give the labor. Because I know what it can be. Some of you are at decision time this morning with your life. You have a dream. You want it. You have desire.
Yes, sir,
it's time to make a decision.
Yeah. Amen.
The prodigal son in the hog pen of life said, "I will arise. Go to my father and say to my father, I've sinned against God and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy servant. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Thy son, make me as one of thy hired servants." Yeah. He made a decision. Yes. The only thing standing between you and total victory in your situation is a decision. God's already decided. His mind's made up. A dream, a desire, a decision, but then it's going to take some old-fashioned dedication. Brother Todd, you and Sister Janice and Miss Elizabeth, come and get us a song if y'all would. It's going to take some dedication. You know what we want? We want immediate. We want instant grits. Microwave popcorn. Gravy that comes in a bag. We want everything easy and fast. But for it to be real good, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. Let me say it again. It's gonna take time. Levi wanted to paint that truck 1,000 times, Brother Jay. Can we paint it today? Can we paint it today? Can we paint it today? It ain't ready. Do you know what a good coat of paint on a vehicle that ain't ready will do? It will magnify every problem it has. Before the finish can be applied, the dent got to be taken care of.
Amen.
Dedication. He said, "Preacher, I want it to be better right now." Oh, you may have some bumps in the road. But if you'll press on, you can get there. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I've done my best to obey God this morning. I ain't gonna stop now. Some of you, spiritually speaking, drug in this morning. Your life's a wreck. It's a mess. at best. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. I got news for you this morning. I serve a God who is a rebuilder of lives. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around this morning. I wonder if there'd be one here today. Just be honest. Ain't nobody looking. Me and the Lord. I wonder if you could just slip your hand up. Say, preacher, it's me. I'm a wreck. God bless your heart, hon. God bless you, sir, ma'am, all over this house. Maybe the world's gave you up in the junkyard of life, but God hadn't. He can help you this morning. Have you a dream? Can you see how good it could be with the one God has given you? Can you see what God could do with the situation where you are? Jobless. Do you realize, do you have a dream that God could give you one better than what you had? Have a dream this morning. Shoot for the stars. He owns them too. Is there a desire? You want it? So many times I find myself there. I want it, but I don't know how to get it. Why don't you make a decision? Why don't you make a clear-cut decision this morning and say like that prodigal son, I will arise, go down to that altar, and say to my God, I've sinned. I need your forgiveness. Help me. Help me, oh God, to rebuild the mess that I've made. Now hang on. Hang on. We're fixing to have the altar call. Before Nehemiah could lay the very first brick, the Bible said they had to clear the rubbish away. Before we can begin to rebuild, we may need to get in the altar and take out the trash in our lives. God wants to help you this morning more than you know. One more question, and they're going to sing. Or I'm going to pray, and they're going to sing. I wonder if there's somebody here today, just a simple question. If you died right now, you're not 100% sure heaven would be your home. You don't know if you are truly born again. You're not sure if you're truly saved. I would sure like to pray for you. If you would slip up your hand, I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. God bless your heart. I see that hand right back there in the back. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody else? Teenagers, no talking. This is very, very serious. Preacher, I don't know if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody else? God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Let's pray together, Father, as we come to you again this morning. Thank you, God, for the lives that had been left undesirable, unwanted. But God, you saw hope. You saw a future. Lord, you pulled them out of the wrecks of sin and restored their lives. Thank you, God, me included. There's some folks here this morning who need you desperately. Father, I pray they'd find you in this altar today. Lord, you saw their hands. You know their hearts. Don't let them leave on their way to hell. Don't let them leave with their life upside down. God, don't let them leave hopeless. But God, give them something this morning to let them know they can start over. They can rebuild with your help. Please help them today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.